Let me tell you about a product that I am using personally, and I really think this works. You know, beetroot juice has been used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, and studies show that it can increase athletic performance and stamina by 16%. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com, and you can get a 30-day supply free of this great product. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to wade into an issue that I approach with some trepidation. It's a hot button issue. It's almost become kind of a litmus test for your patriotism or your scientific bona fides. It's the issue of vaccination. And it's been hot and heavy. Big controversy about vaccination lately with the measles epidemic underlying the possibility that vaccine deniers may be creating a gap in our nation's immunity. So a lot of people are now pointing the finger at people who criticize vaccines. So it's very, very tough to have a rational discussion about it. That's why I've invited today's guest. He's a very, very responsible arbiter of the truth in relationship to vaccine safety. He's been a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine. He's Dr. Jared Scowron. He's a naturopathic physician. He's one of the best naturopathic physicians in the country, focusing on children's health. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. We did a podcast with him last year on that subject. And he's current vice president of the Pediatric Association of Naturopathic Physicians. He's an international speaker on natural medicine for children. I see that recently he had the privilege of lecturing in Paris. He has a practice that is affiliated with the Naturopathic College at the University of Bridgeport up in Connecticut. He specializes in working with kids with special needs, autism, and PANDAS, attention deficit disorder, and this is an area that he's quite familiar with, and he's been back and forth researching all the science around the vaccine controversy, so it's a privilege having him on the program. Nice to have you back, Jared. Welcome.
You know, thanks, Dr. Hoffman. It's great to be here, and, you know, like you said, this is a topic where a lot of people aren't having open discussions. You know, it's about bullying and yelling at one another and social media and Facebook, and you know, it's hard for people to talk and, you know, say what their opinion is because they get shot down immediately.
Right. It's even become like a presidential campaign issue because they were trying to show that certain candidates were wing nuts for advocating patient freedom in terms of selecting the option of whether to vaccinate their children or not. And then somewhere it surfaced that, I guess it was back in 2007, candidate Barack Obama, then a first-term senator, was asked the same question. And he said, well, you know, there's some controversy about vaccines. We're not entirely assured that we know everything about vaccine safety. That was then. This is now. Everybody is lining up and saluting and saying that we must make sure that everyone gets every vaccine that is currently on the vaccine schedule. Otherwise, they'd be branded a traitor or some sort of irresponsible person.
Well, exactly. You know, and when you look at, you know, anybody who speaks out on vaccines, especially the health professionals, they get taken down. I mean, whether you're looking at Andrew Wakefield, who did that MMR autism study, whether you're looking at that cardiologist in Arizona that just came out, you know, if you are somebody who says, you know, maybe we need to take a second look at vaccines, your credibility gets washed away immediately.
Okay. I mean, I think it's really creating sort of a a straw man argument to say that there are anti-vaxxers, people who are irrevocably opposed to any type of vaccination under any circumstance for their children. I think there are people out there who are like that, but there are certain parents and certain health professionals who say that while vaccines have conferred a great deal of protection on our society and have been really a boon to health, questions still remain about the timing of vaccines, whether we should get every single vaccine to every child, or there are certain children who perhaps might be more vulnerable to vaccine side effects. I think that's the position that you espouse, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, we really need to look into vaccine safety. I mean, you know, take when we were young, you know, rewind the clock decades, and there were 10 shots, you know, and the majority of people got those, and there really weren't many problems. And, you know, fast forward today, and the vaccines are given earlier in life. We get more of them. You know, now there's about 40 on the schedule.
42 vaccines, I think, currently.
42.
Yeah.
It went up before, you know, since I looked last.
Yeah, I mean, it's now we're getting the controversial HPV vaccine as well.
That's a big one too.
Yeah,
but you know, nobody's done any research on the safety of it all. You know, can we give all of these shots all at once to these kids? Load up their system with the bacteria and the virus, but also my biggest concern is the safety of the inactive ingredients. You know, I know thimerosal has been removed from the majority of the childhood vaccines.
That's the mercury ingredient, right?
A lot of my patients is the aluminum.
Right. Which is a preservative for the vaccine, correct?
Yeah, actually it acts as an adjuvant. The aluminum will keep the virus in the subcutaneous tissue so that the immune system can continue to access it and create further responses.
A couple of concerns is, one, you know, aluminum is potentially a toxin. Number two, adjuvants sort of hype up the immune response. It's actually thought that the basis for many diseases is an exaggerated immune response. I mean, we want our immunity. We want it to be strong. But many of the diseases that we're encountering today are autoimmune diseases where the immune system is overactive, out of control. Some people even speculate that autism is an autoimmune disease of the brain.
Yeah, there's a lot of new research, which is really interesting, that they'll take cerebral spinal fluid of kids on the autism spectrum, and you'll find autoantibodies to different parts of the neurons. So whether you're looking for myelin antibodies or other neuronal body antibodies, you'll start finding them in those kids. And that's concerning. Like you mentioned, it's stimulating the immune system a little too much.
Well, let's clear this up right now, because I think the concern that earnest health professionals have, and by the way, I have a beloved cousin who's a great pediatrician, and we'd love to get together, and we've known each other since childhood, and everything is fun and games until we broach the vaccine issue, and she's just vociferous about vaccines, and her concern is that shedding any doubt about the safety of vaccines discourages certain people from getting vaccines. Not everyone, but a high percentage of people who are health conscious, you know, maybe the same people who are concerned about preservatives and unnatural chemicals in their foods. And then they'll refuse to lockstep with the rest of the population, get the vaccines. Then we won't have herd immunity. Then we may see future tragedies where viruses that were once thought vanquished are going to make a big comeback. So let's get that off the table right away. I mean, should we be even sowing doubt about vaccines?
Well, you know, what they said is exactly right. You know, if we educate people on the potential dangers of vaccines, then they might make the choice not to do it. And if they make the choice not to do it, are we going to get this resurgence? And I don't think there's one right answer for everybody. You know, one size does not fit all, because we don't want kids to get sick. Nobody wants kids to get sick. But are we going to see an increase in measles, or are we going to see an increase in these vaccine reactions? Because I think every parent needs to know the safety and validity of anything that they're giving their child, and not telling the parents the truth about the potential side effects, which are rare. They are rare side effects, but they're potential and they're there. And, you know, how much information should parents give? I think they should have 100% information so they can make their own choice for their child.
And as in life, it's a risk-benefit equation because, you know, the many things that we undertake, and, you know, we're free citizens and we have a right to be informed. And so, in a way, suppressing this information is a form of censorship. We're really not getting the word out.
Well, exactly. You know, and people need to know. People need to take a look at the package insert. You know, if you're going to get a vaccine, take a look at that insert that comes with the vaccine. And, you know, it'll show that a small number of people have gotten SIDS or autism or encephalomyelitis or whatever autoimmune disease, et cetera, when they get the vaccine. And so it's a risk-benefit ratio. Are you going to be the one in the million with a reaction? Are you going to be the one in the million that gets measles? Or are you going to be like 98% of the population and be just fine?
Well, you know, some would argue that, okay, you know, it's a matter of personal choice, but others would say, it is your personal responsibility to get the vaccine. If you're not worried about the consequences because you might be a carrier, unbeknownst to you, you might pick up a virus, carry it, and then expose, say, an unvaccinated child because children can't get the vaccine before the age of one, or a debilitated, immune-suppressed older person. You might give them a deadly virus. So you gotta, you know, do your patriotic duty. I mean, we pay taxes, we go to jury duty, you know, we do a lot of things as a matter of civic responsibility. So vaccines, some people argue, should be part of that civic responsibility. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think this is America, and it's about freedom, and it's about pro-choice. And are there other ways that we can help keep a healthy society? Can we make our children healthier? Can we feed them better? Can we make sure they've got enough vitamin D? You know, and when we look at, let's take measles, for example, you know, we had that outbreak in Disney this year. There's about 150 cases last reported by the CDC for 2015, but everybody's recovered.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well,
let's
talk about that, because that was invoked as some kind of horrendous scenario. You know, we heard, like, people were getting measles in Disneyland, and then they said, well, there's a case now in New York. And then, you know, they did, like, a map of the United States, and they started showing the country darkening with measles spots.
Sure.
As if there was some tremendous resurgence of measles. And I think it's almost a little bit like the Ebola so-called epidemic that threatened us. It made big headlines for a while, and nobody's talking about it anymore because it's kind of petered out. And what's the bottom line on this? I mean, there are people dropping like flies from measles, or the lots of kids with irreversible encephalitis, you know, the dread consequence of getting the measles. What's the deal?
Right. Well, you know, the media hype sucks us all in, and I think we need to take a step back and look at the numbers. You know, the past 5 years, we've had an average of about 200 to 250 cases of measles in America, and nobody's died. Nobody's died for over a decade. You know, when you look at a country of 300 million people, now your odds of getting measles is one in a million. You get sick for a week, you get the rash, you get the colic spots, and you're better.
Yeah, I don't know about you, because I'm a little older than you, but I had the measles. And, you know, imagine how much smarter I'd be if I hadn't gotten the measles. I could really have been quite brilliant. But I guess, maybe I lost a few brain cells, but here I am, pretty much unscathed. And it didn't make a big difference in my life.
Right. You know, and I think we're looking at, you know, there's still measles around the world. You know, China had 20,000 cases of measles last year. How easy is it for a case of measles to fly into our country from who knows whatever other country that has it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we have such good medical care, and we have access to plumbing, we have access to clean water. And yes, people, you know, kids die from measles around the world every year. In fact, I was looking at World Health Organization website. I think it was about 150,000.
Yeah.
But you're looking at you know, you're looking at third world countries.
And it's actually been shown that a deficiency of vitamin A can be very devastating, and really predispose you to much more complicated and dangerous course of the measles. So there's nutritional factors interact with these viruses.
Oh, completely. Yeah, but we use high-dose vitamin A, just like the World Health Organization protocol suggests. You know, and take a look at the 150 kids this year that have gotten measles. Nobody's gotten treatment. Everybody's recovered just on their own immune.
So you're saying if you were to see a child with the measles, you would recommend like a bolus of vitamin A to help them, to help tide them over, like a higher dose?
Oh, yeah. In our practice, we give a bolus of vitamin A, just like the World Health Organization recommends, for any virus. We find it extremely effective. The flu, mono, measles.
What are we talking about for pediatric purposes? Because we know that vitamin A can be toxic if you go too high. What would be sufficient but not dangerous for a small child?
Well, you know, what the World Health Organization recommends is 100,000 IUs in a single bolus dose.
Wow.
You can only do that twice a year.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, eat your orange vegetables, eat your sweet potatoes, eat your orange peppers, mm-hmm. eat your pumpkins, eat your carrots. That'll have your vitamin A. But if you really want to treat, that's the way to treat.
So which you would give like 4 25,000 international units of vitamin A in a drop form, or... Yeah, I think there's a vitamin A emulsion product that's 25,000 per drop.
Yep.
And that's what is palatable for even kids who can't swallow pills. So,
exactly.
So great. I mean, you're actually just following World Health Organization guidelines. You're not doing anything. I mean, it sounds like you're doing some kind of, very, very innovative nutritional support there. But actually, that's the current mainstream recommendation for kids who are coming down sick.
Right, and unfortunately, I don't think a lot of pediatricians are aware of it, so they don't do it.
And it's about vitamins, and it's not a medication, so I think there's a bias against that type of therapy. If it were Tamiflu, they'd say great.
I wanted to make another comment on our numbers when we were looking at a Disneyland outbreak of measles. What I don't understand is why we pick measles. You know, if you look at pertussis or whooping cough, which we have a vaccine for, there were 19,000 cases four
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Yeah.
And where's the media coverage about our whooping cough?
Right. Well, so, you know,
it's huge.
Well, so here's another factor, though. Why is it that people get the measles sometimes if they're vaccinated? I mean, I think that is an important story that got missed, is it's not so much about the refuseniks, the anti-vaxxers. To some extent, it's a story of vaccine failure, that the vaccine doesn't confer lifelong perfect immunity against some of these diseases, correct?
It is correct. You know, and even on the CDC website, they state that, you know, the measles vaccine is going to work the majority of the time. But there were a handful of people from Disneyland this year who were vaccinated that did get the measles. So, you know...
And you don't hear about that.
Don't work for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, let's come back to the potential... side effects of vaccines. I mean, a lot of times we hear vaccines are harmless. There's no evidence that vaccines cause any harm whatsoever. Statements which are, you know, I mean, I think reassuring but patently untrue. Let's talk about the VAERS system that's been actually set up by the government. What does that stand for? VAERS?
Oh, geez, you got me on that one.
Okay, so it's a vaccine something.
Reporting system.
Very good. Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. Yeah, the VAERS right. Yeah, which is a tracking system to see if there are problems with certain vaccines.
Well, exactly. You know, and all your listeners need to be aware that VAERS exists. You know, you can go to the web, you know, to VAERS website. I think it's VAERS.gov, and take a look at the vaccine reactions that people have reported. Actually, it's not that. I'm trying to go online right now. VAERS.hhs.gov. But it's the government reporting system for vaccine adverse effects. And people, you know, pediatricians well know that the vaccine reactions are extremely underreported and downplayed. You know, a lot of our patients in our office will go to the pediatrician and say, hey, we've got this reaction that happened right after the vaccine.
Yeah.
And they'll say, no, it's just coincidental.
Or how many people are going to go through the trouble?
Look.
Yeah, how many people are going to go through the trouble of reporting that? You know, like a lot of people say, gee, I really felt lousy after that vaccine.
Right.
I was really under the weather. My arm hurt. I had a sore throat. You know, I just felt like I had the flu. But they just said, well, you know, I'll just kind of, you know, wait it out. And they're not going to put that on a website.
Right, exactly. But all your listeners need to go. Take a look at the adverse reactions that have occurred with vaccines. Or, like I said before, look at the package insert. Go to your pediatrician. You know, with any medication you get. You get all that fine print, page after page after page. Ask for it. Take a look at it. I mean, the research, I was reading the safety study of a DTaP, I forgot from which company, but it shows
that's a diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, right? That's diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. That's the booster combo vaccine that is commonly given.
Right. So, you know, we've got to look at these things because we're all listening to our pediatricians. We're all listening to the CDC. We're all listening to the media that says it's perfectly safe. And it's not perfectly safe. But these reactions are rare.
Right. And there's even a so-called vaccine court, which anti-vaxxers make a big deal about. They say, hey, you know, not only are there reactions, but there have been substantial awards given to the parents of children with vaccine reactions by the drug companies. In fact, the drug companies are indemnified. They set aside, I think they set aside money, if I'm not mistaken, to handle this eventuality, correct?
Well, it's actually funded by taxpayers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now,
wait a minute. No, I wish I – don't you wish you were in a kind of business where if you induced harm to one of your patients that the state of Connecticut or the federal government would step in and pay all the all the malpractice fines associated with your malfeasance? That would be great. I'm all for government programs. See, I'm against government programs, but I like that program.
You're like the what?
That's amazing.
It is. But again, your viewers need to know there's this vaccine court because there's a law that says no pharmaceutical company can be sued for vaccine injury. So they're impervious. So, you know, why would they change? So if you've got a vaccine injury, you have to go to the government, prove your case in this vaccine court. There's no jury, by the way. There's just the judge. And if you do get an award, it's paid for by the taxpayers.
So these awards are probably very few and far between, right?
Very few and far between to actually win a case. There was a landmark case probably 7 years ago. It was in Time magazine that you know, a girl got autism after a vaccine, and the court awarded the family, you know, however many millions of dollars. So you know, it has happened, but everybody's going to downplay it.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, clearly we're not hearing the full story here, but you know, I think what the authorities are doing is they're sort of using the KISS principles, like keep it simple, stupid. You know, just tell people that vaccines are safe, because otherwise we're not going to get people to comply. If we want people to comply, we've just got to say, hey, just stick out your arm, close your eyes, grit your teeth, and just, you know, suck it up.
Right. For the greater good.
Right, exactly. So, and this has become a hot, and now they're invoking the measles story as a scare tactic. And you know, actually, it really has worked because I'm looking at statistics here, and there's a story from, I think it's a Gallup poll from a couple of weeks ago. And the Gallup poll states that some incredible majority of people, 78% of people agree with the proposition that vaccines should be required. As it says, should vaccines for preventable diseases be required for healthy children? 78% yes. You know, distinct minority, 22% no. But the vast majority, now required, vaccines are not actually required. They're required now in some school settings, in some job settings. But actually, you know, the government doesn't go around with a truck or something like that and knock on your door and say, have you been vaccinated? It hasn't gotten to that point yet.
No, you know, and again, everybody needs to realize that if you as a parent are responsible for the health care of your child. So if you vaccinate, if you don't vaccinate, if you partially vaccinate, you know, whatever the consequences of your choice, that's your responsibility for the health of the child. And you can go to school. You can go to college. You can go to daycare, even if you've chosen not to vaccinate or delay vaccinations. And those things are called religious waivers or medical waivers or philosophical waivers, depending on the state. But you can go to your state's Department of Public Health website and download these forms. We download these for our patients all the time. They fill them out. They give them to the school systems, and they go on their way.
Well, but there's popular resistance mounting to such a notion because, according to the same survey, nearly 6 in 10 parents are opposed to unvaccinated children participating in public school or daycare. They're saying that if you okay, maybe some people are saying, well, okay, fine, don't get vaccinated, but don't come to my school, don't come to my daycare, don't get next to my kids. This is also a form of coercion, isn't it?
It is. excuse me, it is, you know, and that's why this is such a hot topic that people, you know, people all want to protect their children. You know, when people are just debating on what they think that best protection is. And, you know, what I'd really like to open up is a, you know, a third answer instead of this you must vaccinate or these anti-vaxxers. You know, can we support immunity more safely? Can we make sure everybody stays healthy? Can we make sure that we don't pass around the measles? You know, how can we make this safer for everybody? And if for people who do get the vaccines, how do we make those safer? You know, how do we identify the children that are going to have problems and are going to have reactions? And can we identify them and then create a safer vaccine for them?
Well, that's a great jumping off point for part two of today's discussion, because we, as you know, we divide these podcasts into two parts. So we've sort of defined the problem. Seems like an insoluble dilemma. We've got the vaxxers on one side and the anti-vaxxers on the other, and they're throwing darts at each other, but there may be a middle way. And that's what we'll talk about with today's guest, Dr. Jared Skowron. He's a naturopathic physician. He's also on the faculty of the University of Bridgeport, which has an excellent naturopathic school. And when we return, we'll continue to discuss this hot-button issue, vaccination, pro or con. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.